Those of you who haven't seen that lonely little hay field, that was my accent coming out, feeding trough up here by itself. It'll get some company next week and a little bit more the next week and maybe truly get filled in 4 weeks. When that baby finally comes. But there is a saying that if you wait until the perfect time to have a child, you're never going to have one. Right? I mean, humanity would just cease to exist. But when one is coming, when one is on the way, you have such great anticipation of the birth of that child. As parents, new parents, you're overwhelmed with some joy and some fear at the same time, and you get books, right? Because, you know, people know stuff. And they write books, and you get these books on how to lead up to the birth and what's going to happen after and, you know, all that good stuff. And you take classes. I can remember taking classes on my first child, Lamaze breathing. It's kind of funny. It was even more funny back then because, you know, those of you who know, my first child, I was 16, right? So I'm the 16-year-old little couple in there with all these adults. So it was even more funny to be doing Lamaze breathing at 16. But so you're in anticipation, right? And as parents, you have to prepare the room. I mean, so much when you get closer and closer, the mothers start nesting. You know, you've heard that. You have to have the right crib, right? Which that feed trough would not have been the right crib, I guarantee you. But you have to have the right one. You do all the safety checks. You make sure that it is just perfect for your child. You go out and you pick the special blankie, right? Because you know that's going to be such a comfort for the child. And if you've listened to somebody who has gone before you, you actually buy three of them. Because you need two for the wash exchange, and you have the one for when the dog eats it, right? So you have to have three special blankies. And then you have the stuffed animal, right, that you've prepared, you've found it. This is going to be your child's friend through thick and thin. And, of course, when the baby's born, then it picks something else. So you can always, you have good plans, but then the baby's going to do what the baby's going to do. You have to find the right rocking chair. You have to fill shelves with clothes and diapers. You have to have a little bookshelf so that you can have those little first reading moments with your child. But it's not just about trying to prepare the room. You have to have car seat, usually two, high chair, safety gates. You know, you have to truly prepare for the child's arrival. So much preparation. You're willing to spend all your hard-earned dollars to provide what this child needs to grow and have a healthy, safe life. When you're anticipating the birth, you dream of the potential that your child will have in their life. And then your child is born, and there's such excitement, and there's this weird, again, instant unconditional love wrapped with this uncertainty and this fear, this newness. You hold the child, and you breathe in deeply its purity. And then there's the child whose only longing is to be fed and nurtured by you. Then it's time to take your child home, and you drive home the safest you've ever driven in your life. I remember that with Cooper. And mom sticks around for a couple weeks, which is such a blessing. Things are great. All your needs are met. Hey, you've got this. It's all under control, right? Then mom boards a plane and goes home. You find when you're left alone that your life truly is turned upside down. You become sleep deprived. And those books that you read, they they were written for somebody else's kid because it's just not working for you, right? Hormones, rage, that potential that you dreamed about, you're just trying to make it through one more day. When the child is bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, you stick around. Things are hard. You work through it. There's no abandoning. You're there through it. But you realize your freedom to go and to do no longer exists. It revolves around another life. Now, when the child gets sick, what do you have to do? You have to take off work. That ups the stress on all of that. The house is a mess. And how could so much stuff come out of both ends of this baby? And why won't this baby stop crying? This is not what I signed up for. Yet you tell everyone that things are great, that things are perfect, but you know they're not. At times, it's horrible. And you feel like a terrible parent, but you love this child. You don't abandon it. You push through those struggles. As the child grows, it's going to present new challenges, but you're going to be better at adapting. What was once hard is now okay. The child is the love of your life, and through that love, the child is the center of your world. Now, what if another child comes into the family, but not in your family, not at your home, but maybe it's the child of one of your siblings or a cousin, still family, but not under your roof. You show up. You are there for the celebration of their birth. You meet this child. You hold this child. You smile. Beautiful. Then, really, your relationship is really one that just shows up on special occasions, right? You show up on birthdays, Christmas, maybe a baptism, first soccer game, high school graduation. These times may truly be sincere. And you really do have some level of love for this child, but the relationship is peripheral. The child is not an extension of you. Because not an extension of you, there's just no real need to be bothered with that hard stuff. When your relationship with this baby starts getting difficult, you give it back. Fussy, diaper change, terrible twos, teenage struggles. Go back home. We're now in the season of Advent. We pull out our royal purple, that color that we use to show royalty because we're preparing for the birth of a king. This season of preparation, these 4 weeks before that birth of this baby, it's a time of preparation. We prepare ourselves for that. It's a season of really intentional preparation, right? We're supposed to be preparing to meet Jesus every day, but this is really intentional preparation. And it's not just the birth of this baby into the world. We're preparing for the birth of God. Bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, the birth of God into our earthly lives. Advent gives us an opportunity. As we sit in anticipation, what kind of a relationship are you going to have with this baby that we'll celebrate on Christmas? The baby that we claim as family, Will we hand it back when times get hard? One that we only really connect with on special occasions. Or will this relationship be one that is fully a part of you? Will the baby that longs to be fed and nurtured by you become the love of your life? Will you share in an unconditional relationship with the life of this baby and allow it to become the center of your world? Advent brings with it an opportunity to start new, and we have time to prepare. Amen.